Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Tom Brady didn't go anywhere. Aaron Rodgers didn't go anywhere. Aaron Rodgers teasing us for a year. Didn't go anywhere.
A beautiful mystery.
Tom Brady, it was a bolt out of the blue. He's going to retire. Oh, my God. Tom Brady played every single game plus the postseason games after winning the Super Bowl, so he played more than anyone else in the first 17-game scheduled season ever. He led the league in attempts, passes, and attempts, yards, and touchdowns at the age of 44. Retires, but did he ever even really retire? He hasn't missed. He's back already. He's gonna be full everything. Preseason, practice, everything. We're asking on the Twitter feed, at KeyJMX, what has lasted longer than Tom Brady's retirement? Plus, you can vote on what we talk about at 9:45 a.m. Eastern by voting at KeyJMX on our Choose Your Own Adventure segment, new segment where we put you in charge. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Immediate reaction when you heard the news, Jay, what was your immediate reaction?
I mean, when I got the text yesterday, I'm literally holding my son. He just threw up on me. My daughter's crying. And
the weird thing is your son's like 20, right?
Yeah, closer to 20 months. But it's I look down at my phone and I see it. I'm just like, okay. Like it wasn't shocking to me. It was one of these things that, Max, you and I have been on this tip for a while, and I know Kia's thought he was going to retire. But every time I heard Tom Brady speak, it was like he was on the fence. And it was also like he was trying to talk himself into the fact that he is retired. Like, yes, I am playing golf. I'm with my family, and I love it. And Steve Young said something so fascinating on Scott Van Pelt last night, and I want you guys to hear it, and then we can discuss it, come out of it. Let's listen to it.
Usually, physically, it becomes obvious. Peyton Manning, he couldn't raise his arm to throw. Drew Brees had trouble. Like, when your arm goes, then you know I'm not going to go out there and embarrass myself. But when you have your arm still fully intact and you think you can go throw it in this game today, that it is much safer for quarterbacks, and Tom always says, there's no one patrolling the middle of the field, flats are open and no one can hit me, and he can still throw it. So that's the thing. Once he starts to fail with the arm, that's when you know it's going to be done.
Yeah, he's right about that. In most times, though, guys, as I said before, when you retire – you know, this was more about Aaron Rodgers. You retire because you can't do it anymore. Tom Brady can still do it. Why he chose to take everybody on a whirlwind tour over the last 2 months, I don't know. I can't answer that. Was he conflicted? Yes, he was conflicted. Emotions ride high at the end of a season when you just got smacked and bounced out of the playoffs by the Rams. You now say, man, I don't feel like doing this. Your kids are there, your family. Then all of a sudden you get these 2 minutes of chilling and that frustration goes away. And you say, you know what? I can still play. I'm going back to play. I ain't got nothing else to do. And so I understand why he's coming back. What I don't like about it, though, Max, is that you're retired, and then you unretire tells me you got 1 foot in, 1 foot out. You want to retire, but you still want to play.
But see, I got the feeling, Key, always Jay, that he didn't want to retire. See, if I got the feeling like part of him was thinking 1 foot out, I had the feeling he had both feet in because he kept talking about how much he loved NFL football, how he could still do it at a very high level, and how his family has sacrificed for him for so long. In other words, now it's time for him to sacrifice for them. And to my way of thinking, Jay, that doesn't work. You have to do things because you want to do them. Because you feel like, oh, I'm missing family time. I have to be there. If you're feeling the pull, that's one thing. If you're like, no, I think we should keep things the way they are, But y'all are telling me, no, you must sacrifice this? I don't think that'll work.
You see, as soon as he did this yesterday, I was like, oh, okay, this is our whole show tomorrow. Mm. Everybody's going to be talking about, you know, is he the odds favorite to win a Super Bowl? Is he the odds favorite to win another MVP? Who else can they bring back in free agency? But I have to tell you guys, naturally where my brain went to is, well, how much longer is Tom Brady going to play? Like, are we talking about another year or another 3 years? Is he going to have a retirement tour like we've seen Kobe or Coach K do? Like, how is he going to go out now? Like, my brain went to that. How much longer does Tom Brady have to play this game? And then when he actually does leave, what is it going to be like? Will we know beforehand, or will it be sudden again?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. When I made the Cliff prediction, that wasn't based on me seeing anything. That was based on just kind of the actuary tables for quarterbacks, right? They all hit a wall here, and then they fall off or retire. So maybe sometimes they just had a natural dip in their career, assumed they were getting old because that's how it always works, and they retired. Maybe they could have kept going. I don't know. But that's what I've seen throughout the entire history of the NFL. Oldest guy was Warren Moon, had a good age 41 season, but the next season he was toast, right? But then when I was watching in New England, I thought his arm still looks strong, but sometimes when you get older and you lose arm strength, you start to muscle the ball, so you start missing guys in order to get the zip. But what I was seeing was what everyone else was saying. No, he just doesn't have receivers on the team, right? He still looks like he could do it to me, and I don't see why he would stop now. He looks like he's having so much fun. He looks like he's really enjoying his NFL career.
Yeah, no, he certainly is enjoying his NFL career, no question about it. You know, you stop because you can't do it anymore. You stop because they don't want you anymore. Or you stop because you want to spend time with your kids and see them grow. You know, think about it. I don't know if his kids play sports or not, but most kids' sports are on the weekends. When is your games? On the weekends. You don't have the opportunity to be a part of that. That is something that you miss as a professional athlete when you have young children. You miss those sort of things depending on the sport that they're playing in. So I thought, okay, well, maybe his son is training to be a quarterback and Tom wants to be there to teach him and see him do it. Now I look at it and say, well, maybe his son doesn't play sports.
Or maybe he does. Maybe he does, but that's just not, you know, life is about making choices and creating hierarchies of importance in your mind. You can still have a close, loving relationship with a family member, even if you miss some games, you know? By the way, via Field Yates, Tom Brady's last nine seasons end like this. 2013, lose playoff game. 14, win Super Bowl. 15, lose playoff game. 16, win Super Bowl. See if you see a pattern emerging. 17, lose playoff game. 18, win Super Bowl. 19, lose playoff game. 20, win Super Bowl. 21, lose playoff game. Will 2022 follow this pattern of every other year winning the Super Bowl?
Some people just got all the luck.
Yeah, but right. See, for so long I thought it
not
was.
Luck.
But at a certain point you have to say, wait a minute. Like luck in the sense that playing in a weak AFC East with no quarterbacks in the division, all you have to do is win one home playoff game. Belichick's your coach. You're in the AFC Championship game. Things seem to always go the way. At a certain point, it ain't luck.
Luck is the residue of design.
Correct.
I've always said it.
Luck is the residue of design.
Like and Key, with all the right acquisitions out there for their team, you know, there are questions around every team. But you got to think with Tom Brady coming back, like they're in prime position to win this thing again, just like that. That had to be one of the major factors into the decision-making process for him, is that you're sitting there looking at the NFC saying, okay, realistically, the Rams, like, we'll see if they can bring everybody back. You have Green Bay. Like, this thing is wide open. It's wide open
in
the NFC.
No, it is. It's wide open, but they're gonna be missing some pieces. I mean, I see Leonard Fournette bouncing. I mean, that's a big, big piece that they're going to be missing. You know, Ronald Jones potentially bouncing, you know, O.J. Howard. I mean, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to repeat it. They're not going to be able to do the same thing that they did after they won the Super Bowl.
Marpet retiring to me is the big – like, to me, running backs – and I'm not – look, Leonard Fournette under pressure. The reason I think what distinguishes him from other just a guy, a jag, is that he played his best in the biggest moments. That means something to me. But losing a guy off your offensive line like Marpet to me is like that's a hard thing to replace. Keyshawn.
Yeah, it is. No, I was going to say it is. It is hard to replace him.
Yeah. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance, offering coverage options as unique as your business. Progressive covers companies of many sizes and specialties. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. All right, let's get back to brackets.
Most of us get a certain number of opportunities. Some of us get more than others. The best opportunities are the opportunities that are backed up with belief.
The Cinderella team has done it.
It's not just about opportunity, man. It's about someone believing in you.
The madness has hit its peak.
We're going to be ready. You be ready. And let's see what happens. Let's see what the hell happens.
Seth Greenberg, ESPN basketball analyst, with us now. Download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app to fill out your brackets and play along with us. Filling out brackets with ESPN is free and easy. The ESPN Tournament Challenge is presented by WebEx. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, gentlemen. What's happening?
What's up?
I figured it out. Tom Brady decided to come back last night to take pressure off the Michigan team that's at 11 seed.
He is a big Michigan guy.
Yeah, that could be true.
A jab in there, Seth.
Why couldn't I? Hey, look, you guys have something to talk about now, but you know what? We also have to talk about the NCAA tournament because I think this is going to be one of the most wide-open tournaments in recent time.
So let me ask you, big boy. My Duke team, when they got the two seed – I was like, okay, I mean, we'll take it. But Tennessee, it felt like should have had a two seed. And I felt like Duke was more in a three line. What were your thoughts?
Do you want the truth? All right, I guess I'll give you the truth. Here's the deal. Whether it's a two seed or a three seed, Duke hasn't played well in the last month. Yeah. They have no identity. They're not turning people over defensively like they were early in the season. In the half court, I'm not sure how they score. Paolo Banchero is a talent, but, you know, quite honestly, he plays about a third of the game. They have a tough draw because, let's face it, I mean, if they get Michigan State, they're more talented than Michigan State. There's no doubt about it. Michigan State obviously has an identity. If they can't turn Michigan State over, we know Tom Izzo is a very good tournament coach. If they get by Michigan State, they got Texas Tech. Texas Tech is going to mug them. I mean, Texas Tech is one of the most physical teams in the country. They can't score it like Duke, but they know exactly who they are. My thing with Duke is – look, it's been incredible what Coach K has done. It's incredible, obviously, that they're in this position, number two seed with a chance. I just don't know if they know who they are and how they win, and especially at the end of the game. And you've seen it in the last month. You saw it against North Carolina. You saw it against Virginia Tech. You saw it against, you know, Syracuse, a team that was playing without their best player. So, you know, forget whatever they're seeded, they're not playing well right now.
Mm. Coach, which region you think will have, like, the big upsets.
All right, okay, here's the deal. 6-11. I'm saying that this is a year every 6-11 could be an upset. Virginia Tech could beat Texas. Texas can't score. Virginia Tech put on a clinic the other day. They defend. They got matchup problems. That's a potential upset. You know, I look at Rutgers. Beating Alabama, winning their playing game. I look at all the 6-11s. I think Michigan will beat Colorado State to honor Tom Brady and his return to the NFL. And I think that Iowa State will beat LSU because LSU is playing with an interim coach, and you know they've kind of been in disarray. So I think those, and I think USC. That's right, Key. I'm talking to you now. Oh boy. I think they're going to have a little problem with Miami. I think Miami's going to spread out all those big dudes, drive them, kick them. Scramble them up, and
past Miami, though, we got Bruce Pearl, huh?
You got the Fighting Bruce Pearls. You had the Fighting Bruce Pearls, who you know actually that if you can keep the game in front, Bruce's team obviously Jabari Smith's ridiculous, but their guards' shot selection, decision making has not been good at the end of the season, and you know the size and length obviously of USC. USC is like the fifth longest.
Let's go!
That's all it's doing. But you got to get by to the Fighting Jim Larrañagas, who's a very very good tournament coach.
Seth Greenberg, ESPN basketball analyst, covering everything from the NBA to college basketball. My guy knows it all. And Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. So, big boy, I got to ask you a question, Seth, on this one, because this is going to be the topic of the day. And Key talks about them all the time. Out of all the number one seeds, who do you think has the toughest draw? Do you think that's the Zags?
I actually think it's Baylor. I call it the blue blood bracket. You know what I mean? Like, you got Carolina, Indiana, UCLA, Purdue, Michigan State, Kentucky, and Baylor's undermanned. I mean, Baylor was the fourth number one. But, I mean, if you look at that bracket, I mean, it's pretty daunting. I mean, UCLA is not a number four. UCLA, now that they're healthy, they haven't been healthy all season. They've been only healthy about 10 days, the last 10 days. So UCLA, healthy now, I think they're dangerous. Virginia Tech, obviously, is the ACC champion playing at a high level. Purdue, if you look at their team, I mean, they got two of everything. They're like Noah's Ark. I mean, and they got those two big guys. The one thing about Purdue is they don't guard all the time. Michigan State, we know they're tough, and then in the tournament, and then Kentucky. I think that's the toughest bracket with the weakest number one, because Jonathan Chamwa-Chacha was not there, so they have limited depth.
Is Gonzaga going to be the Cinderella team this year?
How can you make up a Cinderella team, Katie? Overall number one.
Maybe that's the way they can finally finish the deal. They could be Cinderella.
All right. Well, you know what? I mean, here's the thing. I mean, you know, I'm going to give you a sneaky, interesting second-round game for them. I think if UConn wins or Arkansas wins, two teams that just flat get after you, get under you, are physical. UConn maybe scores it a little bit better. That will be a tough game for Gonzaga, because Isaiah Whaley for UConn is an elite defender. Sanogo is a wide body that can carve out space, and he'll probably knock Drew Timmy back a little bit. If they can get consistent guard play from R.J. Cole, that would be an interesting. The same thing with Arkansas. Arkansas has got good overall size, which is key to play against Gonzaga. They switch 1 through 5. They've got a really good inside player in Jalen Williams and JT Note, depending on which team he's playing for. Sometimes he plays for Arkansas. Sometimes he plays for his opponent. But when JT Note is playing for Arkansas, making shots, you know, they've won, I think, 13 of their last 15. They're a dangerous team.
All right, Seth, who's your Final Four and your champion? You know, this was always my favorite part of when we did bracketology, because as soon as
eight
the brackets
to four,
come out,
to 2 to 1.
Literally within 2 seconds, like, all right, pick your Final Four, pick your champion, and we're going to put it on the website. And everybody's going to destroy you when your bracket's wrong. But who do you
exactly
have?
Thanks, Jay. Well, I appreciate that. I woke up to look at my Twitter and go, that's why you got fired. You know nothing about basketball, because I picked against your team. So you hate me. I've got Gonzaga, Kentucky, Arizona, and Iowa. Iowa, Keegan Murray, right? Keegan Murray could have a Kemba-type run in the NCAA tournament. I've got Arizona beating Iowa. I've got Gonzaga beating Kentucky. But I got Arizona to cut it down. I love Arizona. I'll tell you, Dale and Terry and Benedict Mathurin, those wings are dynamic, just dynamic. And they've got enough depth up front. I think Turbelo is really a hard matchup. That 6'9", runs the floor, can play in the baseline. Very good passing team. Not a great three-point shooting team, but good enough. They just scored easy, which would be amazing. First-year head coach could win a national championship if I'm right.
So how many one seeds do you have in the Final Four, Seth? Did you say 2 1 seeds or three?
I got three. I got three and then Iowa.
Wow. And Iowa. Iowa won the Big Ten. Okay.
Iowa.
Yeah, Iowa can score, man. And I'll tell you the,
how long has Jordan Bohannon been in college, Seth? Jordan Bohannon has been in college for 9 years.
Yeah, I had a full head of hair. It was flowing flocks. I actually needed a comb back then when he was a freshman.
He's going to be a doctor by the time. He's the one guy in the deploy. He's a doctor. He's been there for 9 years already.
So did Jay. He had a full head of hair, too.
Okay, well, you know, when you lose it and you just shave it, very sexy.
Yeah, guys. Still confident out here in these
streets. There's nothing wrong with a baldy.
I'm not trying to break your confidence, man.
You can't.
You know what the best part of a baldy is? You get out of the shower, you're already dry.
It's
so great.
Ready to go.
Oh, it's so good.
Hey, you shave that thing off, you never see any gray hair.
That's right. I had a baldy in college, after college, yeah. It was the easiest.
Whoa, Max, that would be a bad look.
Oh, no, Seth, you got to see it. There's a hip-hop video of it.
Yeah, I pulled it off.
Freestyle.
He
pulled
it off. He thought you pulled it off.
Like Kyrie thought he pulled that jacket off.
That's not what they were saying? That's not what they were saying behind my back?
Absolutely.
That is Seth Greenberg, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Coach.
All right, SG.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. All right, buddy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
The NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as the Sixers host the Nuggets. Oh, I got to go here. I got to go there. You ain't got to miss the game on ESPN Radio. Oh, nothing like listening to the game on the radio while you're getting stuff done. Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. Speaking of the NBA, as you heard in SportsCenter, KD went for 53 yesterday at Barclays against the Knicks, but it was what KD had to say after the game that had everyone talking. Here is Kevin Durant asked about New York City Mayor Eric Adams allowing Kyrie in the building but not on the floor to play.
It's ridiculous. Like, it just feels like at this point now, somebody's trying to make a statement or a point to flex their authority. But, you know, everybody out here looking for attention, and that's what I feel like the mayor wants right now, some attention, you know. But he'll figure it out soon. He better. But it just didn't make any sense. Like, there's unvaxxed people in this building already. We got a guy who can come into the building. I guess, are they fearing our safety? I don't get it. So, yeah, we're all confused. Pretty much everybody in the world is confused at this point early on in the season. You know, people didn't understand what was going on, but now it just looks stupid. So hopefully, Eric, you got to figure this out.
So look, I understand this is a bigger conversation, and I get that it's polarizing, and this is just not me pushing for Kyrie Irving to play, but it's just trying to understand the rationale. And I understand that people will say, well, it's incentivizing people in the private sector to get vaccinated, which obviously that has led us to the point where 88% vaccination rate in New York.
Yeah.
Right?
That 74 or 6 nationally. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great, right? That has allowed us to be at this point where we're out and about. I still just don't, there's a part of me that doesn't understand the reasoning, and it feels like it is a matter of time while you have other unvaccinated players that can come in the city and play in the Barclays Center, why Kyrie Irving is still allowed to be there, sitting courtside, still dapping up teammates. When the NBA has a 99% vaccination rate. That's what's confusing to me.
I cannot answer that. Why is it that players who play for other franchises, by the way, they may have apartments in New York, right? Like, why can they play in Barclays, but not if you play for the Nets? Mm-hmm. You may have primary residence, maybe out of New York, right? Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. The other stuff does make sense to me for the reasons that you and I discussed earlier,
yes,
and we discussed on the show, and you just articulated. Listen to Michael Wilbon on NBA Countdown on KD's comments about Kyrie specifically not being able to play home games.
You want to call out somebody? Call out your teammate. Tell him to get a shot. Because he's got plenty of them, because he couldn't have gone to grade school in metropolitan New York without vaccines. I mean, all these guys want to be so irresponsible and not accountable enough to look at this dude and tell him, you want to play with us? Put a shot in your arm. The vaccine is not about attention. People died, hundreds of thousands of them, from this virus. And you think the mayor of New York needs to attend to a basketball team's needs, your needs, before he needs to attend to the needs of a metropolitan area, the biggest in America? Are you kidding me?
Wilbon talking about the vaccine, like one of the reasons vaccine rates aren't much higher is, you know, the proliferation of media, the internet, social media, et cetera, as opposed to like when the polio vaccine or measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine came out, is everywhere. And there's a lot of low quality information that people have been susceptible to. And so there's much more skepticism about hard science than there used to be. What about Wilbon's point? When I was a kid, you couldn't go to school if you didn't have the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine.
Well, I think one, your parents, when you were in school, were the ones who had the information. There was no internet detectives. There were not individuals out there putting misinformation out in the universe to cloud the mind. Kyrie Irving is a grown-ass man, and he has whatever information is at his disposal that he believes in or doesn't believe in. If he decides that that's what he wants to do with his body, who am I to tell him what to do with his body? But he must understand that he's not stepping on a court until such mandate is lifted or he takes a vaccination. So it is going to disrupt their path of winning an NBA championship as it looks right now. So I don't know why the rules are in place in New York. They were set way before Eric Adams became the mayor there. They were already signed off on when this pandemic first took place. I think it's irresponsible to think that it's about the Brooklyn Nets winning a championship and that Eric Adams should just veto immediately so that he can get on the court. I think it's irresponsible of that.
Yeah, I could say something about that, like Jay and Kia, but especially Jay, because you and I have talked, like discussed this at length on this show. One of the reasons, really the main reason, we're coming out of the pandemic, which we appear to be, is because they're miraculously, right, are several vaccines available. They're safe and effective. And so 88% in New York of the population has gotten vaccinated. We're still not where we want to be, but we're close. Okay. So we're coming out of the pandemic. Understand, the pandemic can come back. There were, when the anti-vax stuff started online seriously, before this pandemic, right, this is going back 10, 15 years, and some celebrities who should know better but don't, maybe they shouldn't know better, were coming out in support of, like, vaccines cause autism, all kinds of nonsense. All of a sudden, in certain spots where I'd like to take my kids in L.A. back then, when I lived in L.A., there were measles outbreaks because vaccination rates for the entire population started dipping. Measles came back. Measles are done, but they came back. You think that COVID can't come roaring back? It can. So mayors and politicians and people, as Key said, who are responsible for populations, including, as Michael Wilbon said, you know, Eric Adams, the largest metropolitan area in the country, have to consider the fact that mandates work. So you want to, well, why are people allowed in the building? Because we are coming out of it because mandates work.
If they didn't work, they wouldn't be implemented.
Right. Well, I mean, so we're coming out of it because they work. If we take away mandates, the fear is, right, oh, I'm not going to get vaccinated. They talk tough. Then you make a cost, and the cost gets high, and people say, all right, forget it. I'll take the shot. Kyrie sticking to his guns. Nope, not going to get it. That's on him. He's standing on his own principle, right? But it does affect what he can do.
By the way, Kyrie Irving hasn't said anything. So, you know, I know it's interesting when this conversation comes up, people start attacking Kyrie Irving when he's not the one that even said anything, right? Like, he's going about his business. He'll show up to a game.
Nobody's attacking him. It's surrounding around him.
KD is the one who made the comment.
I understand that. But, you know, Key, I also hear what people say, and the conversation always comes down to it feels like there's a lot of anger that comes towards Kyrie. And my thing is, like, he hasn't said anything. He's doing his business. He's going about his point. Why'd you snap your fingers?
You know what it is? Because you hit on something really important there that we all kind of assume, but we should put some words to it, right? Kyrie is free to make his own choices. This is America. And I will defend it to my last breath. No one's going to make you stick a needle in your arm if you don't want to do it in America, okay? That should never happen. But there will be a cost to pay, potentially, if we're in a pandemic, you don't get it. And Kyrie is free to make that choice and pay the cost. We're mad at Kyrie because we, and I say we, I mean culturally right now, there are those who have this attitude toward Kyrie because he's so great at something that the rest of us want to see him do that thing that he's better at than almost anyone who ever lived, right? And the fact that his choice is costing us the opportunity of seeing him. It's almost like, are we willing? Like Kyrie is willing to pay the price, right? Even as the cost rises. Are the rest of us willing to pay the price of not watching Kyrie play for the Brooklyn Nets? That's the question. I am, because I think the mandates are important. Someone else might say, man, we're coming out of this. Make an exception for Kyrie.
But see, that's the thing, though. But that's not Kyrie asking. Hold on, Key. That's not Kyrie asking us to make an exception for him.
No, he's not asking.
He's not saying that.
Nope.
And these are all conversational points that people end up using in sports media to attack the Brooklyn Nets. Or here's the one thing that's holding the back. Or just get the. And my thing is, other people can have their opinions on it. You could talk about it. But we're not hearing it from the horse's mouth because he's just going about his business. Well, he's allowed to show up at the game. He shows up at the game. Hey, I'm here. I'm supporting my teammates. I'm doing it to the best of my ability. He's not the one turning
into something
different.
I think it's a great point, Jay. Key, Eric Adams, New York City mayor. You want to hear what he had to say about this at his press conference?
Absolutely.
Because someone heckled him about Kyrie's availability. Listen to this.
And you're right, sir. You're right. And you're right. Thank you. Listen, you're right. Kyrie can play tomorrow. Get vaccinated.
It's pretty simple.
Bing bang.
And but
understand that.
Yeah, Kyrie understands that too.
That's why he's not playing.
He is willing to pay the price, and the rest of us are mad about it.
Yes.
The rest of us are not sure we want to pay the price of mandates if it means Kyrie can't play basketball, right?
And I heard people the other day say it was a bad look for Kyrie to show up to the game because that would antagonize Eric Adams, but. He's allowed to show up at these venues now because if you're unvaccinated, you can attend games.
And they're also putting pressure on Adams, just like that. And KD are putting pressure
on
him.
That's fine.
That's
their prerogative. But he has every right to. He's allowed to actually show. Well, that's the whole point of the rule. You can show up. I can talk to you. I can touch you. I can be there, but I can't play. I'm abiding by the rules. That's what you want, right? I'm abiding by the rules.
I think it's a good point. Kevin Durant is not the only former MVP who is trying to bring a title to New York. KD plays in New York, by the way. Everyone's like, Brooklyn Nets, New York City. And don't forget, we're back in less than 2 minutes talking about the possibility, possibly, the worst bad beat of all time.
Ooh.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Brady is back, baby!
Adam, what is it that changed during this two-month period?
40 days since Tom Brady retired, and I think as he stepped back and reflected, he did not feel like the time was right now.
Tom Brady's quote-unquote final career touchdown ball, listen to this, guys, sold at auction for over $500,000, 518 G's at auction. The ball that Tom Brady threw 55 yards to Mike Evans that turned into a touchdown in the 2022 NFC divisional round. $518,628 at auction on Saturday. Is this the worst bad beat of all time?
It feels like
it,
right?
It's right up there.
Yeah, it feels like, oops. I mean, whoever purchased it, did you not do any research to see if this dude was really coming back or what the deal was? Because, I mean, I'm sure they got plenty of money. They dropping a half a yard on a football. But it's like, man, you might as well just throw that in the fireplace.
What would that be worth?
You got to send that ball to Tom and have him sign it. My first retirement.
Yeah. And that's still going to be a valuable. It won't
still be
valuable. Yeah, it'll still be valuable, but not like the last one he ever threw.
My last pass of the 2022 playoffs.
I don't know that it has any value anymore.
No, it has. Any ball that Tom Brady throws for a touchdown in an NFL game has some value.
No, Max.
No, not 518.
518,000?
No, I give him the 628, though.
That ain't value.
I give him the 628 at the end. I keep the 518, give him the $628.
And can you imagine how excited that person must be? I got the last football Tom Brady ever threw a touchdown pass with. Oh, and then this to happen.
When did they actually purchase it?
I don't know.
I just read it. It was sold at auction on Saturday.
Saturday.
Oh, is that a killer? Oh, is that a killer?
This is Saturday.
That is such a killer.
But wait. Okay, so he could put a stop payment on it probably.
He
bought it at auction?
Typically, aren't you paying that
I've never
up?
Bought anything at an auction.
Yeah,
so
typically they take your money pretty quickly on live auctions and things like that.
Saturday.
Dispute the charges right now. Dispute the charges right now.
Yeah, dispute
Amex,
the charges.
Amex, that wasn't me. Amex, that was not me.
Fraud alert.
It's a fraud alert.
The fraud is Tom Brady. Hey, he said he was retired.
Played that game a couple times.
Brady should just pay the people the money back, man.
Yeah, everyone's spending a lot of Tom Brady's money. He should take less money. He should pay the dude back.
Have Giselle pay it back.
Major League Baseball's back, and we're going to play 162 games.
There are nearly 300 players available in free agency and trades, meaning there could be an average of 10 players a day finding new homes before opening day.
Buster only with us now on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. I mean, now we get to talk about the thing I care about in sports more than anything else, and that's the New York Yankees, especially when they make a significant trade. Buster Olney, why did the Yankees do this deal? They not only got Josh Donaldson, but they got a guy who's won a gold glove at third and from what I've seen can really pick it at short. Why'd they make the deal?
Yeah, to upgrade their defense. They upgraded its shortstop. Kiner Falefa will go, and man shortstop by trading Gary Sanchez. And you know this as a Yankee fan. That's a spot that's been a real problem area for them. You had pitchers privately complaining about Sanchez's defense. That goes, that goes by the board. And Donaldson, he still is considered to be a good third baseman, maybe not as good as he used to be. But they bring him in. That all said, I would still be shocked if, when the dust settles and we're at opening day, if they didn't add a left-handed hitting first baseman like Freddie Freeman, like Matt Olson, like an Anthony Rizzo, because the lineup with his trade yesterday, unbelievably right-handed. It's been an issue how right-handed it is. It's a huge issue now, which is why I think there's a good chance they'll wind up with one of those left-handed sluggers.
I have so many questions. Real quick, guys, I want to follow up. And this is like two different questions, really. But I'm surprised if they don't make a move at catcher, Buster. They don't seem to have enough hitting behind the dish now, number one. And number two, I always thought the right-handed power was by design because in the new Yankee Stadium, righties who can take the ball the other way, there's like a jet stream going out.
Yeah, and it absolutely was by design. The Yankees' internal studies were that right-handed hitters actually benefited being Yankee Stadium more than left-handed hitters. But as I've had this conversation with executives within the Yankees organization, that's all great. But when you talk to the managers in the division, they love the fact that you're all right-handed. Yeah. So I do think, and last year I began to get the sense that the Yankees were moving away from that, and that's why I think they'll wind up with a left-hander, a left-handed hitting first baseman. And about the catching, I think they're at peace with the idea that that's going to be a defensive position for them, that guy hitting ninth in the lineup and the focus being on handling the pitching staff.
Buster, Freddie Freeman, you keep mentioning Yankees left-handed first baseman. He's still on the market, right? I mean, it's there. The Yankees can grab it if they want it. What's the market for Freeman right now, and the Yankees getting into the mix seriously, or is it just rumors?
No, they're definitely in the mix. And I'm in Braves camp here this morning down in Florida, and guys, there's a real chance he's going to leave, right? Mm-hmm. The ownership of the Braves had a chance to take him off the board last spring. They didn't do it. They had a chance to take him off the board last summer. They didn't do it. And as one agent said to me, you turn these into a competition, and this is what competitors are going to do. The Dodgers have intense interest. The question has always been about the Dodgers. You know, what would the deal structure be? Because Freeman's 32. Key, you know this. The Dodgers typically, with players in that age range, like to give a 4 or 5 year deal. So would they pay him very well for in a 4 or 5 year deal, say $30, $32 million a year? You know, will that get it done? The Yankees, certainly, you know, with the higher CBT level that was agreed to last week, all the pressure now that's there because the Mets are spending like crazy. Will they step up? They are in conversations on Freeman. And at any point, you know, Braves ownership, which killed it last year, making a huge profit, could step up and say, you know what, he's the face of the franchise, pay the man.
Mm. Buster Only joining us from Braves training camp on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. This Clayton Kershaw deal back to the Dodgers, do we need him in the rotation, or is this a legacy farewell deal, so to speak?
No, Key, I think they need him. You know, when you look at the staff and the rotation, you know, they certainly, you know, depth is going to be a question coming into the season. And he demonstrated last year that he's okay. I am going to be curious to see if the Dodgers sort of slow play his season, you know, because he wasn't able to finish last year. In previous seasons, you know this, at times it was like he got a month vacation or 6 week vacation to make sure that he was right for the postseason. He was rolling along for a lot of last year, and then when he broke down, he wasn't able to come back. But I thought it was a good signing, and I'm glad that, you know, a future Hall of Famer, guy should be unanimous pick when he's up for induction, will, you know, this increase the likelihood he's going to finish with the team.
Man, Kershaw, if he had been better in the playoffs throughout his career, would have a very good argument that he's the greatest pitcher of all time, because past his prime now, he's still a very good pitcher when he's on the hill.
Hey, Buster, I was going to ask you very quickly, what's the latest on Carlos Correa?
So it's a fascinating situation, guys. You know, he, of course, was considered to be the best of the shortstops going into the fall in this elite class of shortstops. He got, from what I understand, a $275 million offer from the Detroit Tigers, and he turned it down. Then we go on the lockout. He fired his old agent. Well, here's the thing. If he signed, and he hired Scott Boras, if he signs a $300 million deal now, then his previous agency has a claim potentially on a lot of that commission. There's also a question now, is there a team out there in the marketplace looking to spend $300 million on a shortstop? It might be a very short list. So what might happen is he could take a one-year deal, say go back to the Astros for a lot of money for 1 year, and then go back out of the market in the fall. And that, of course, would be nice for Mr. Boras, because then his negotiation would be reset. And Scott would get, you know, be in line for all the commission rather than just part of it.
I ain't taking that chance, Jay. Give me about $300 million and y'all can argue over the fees.
I just need to know what the Yankees are going to do at catcher. When you have a catcher and a shortstop who can hit, that's a huge strategic advantage. And the Yankees don't have a shortstop who can hit anymore. He can pick it in the field, but I don't know about two guys who are substandard hitters. I'm concerned. Buster, I'm concerned. But excellent information, as always.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Buster.
All right, Buster.
Yeah, see, I like having I'm spoiled as a Yankees fan. You know, Posada and Jeter years and all that stuff. And even since then, they've always
Yankees
come up with guys.
Stop always hyping the Yankees. Yankees ain't been around good in 10 years,
They're very good. All the last 10 years, they're very good. They're just not great. They just haven't been able to be great.
See,
but
he's
won
a lot
good.
Of championships in L.A. over the past 5 years, so he's a lot of clout right now.
Yeah, well, the Dodgers hired a Moneyball GM, and now he's playing with money.
Lakers,
you know,
Rams. I mean, LA
dominance insane recently. Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing just fine. I think we're headed in the right direction.
Mm. Oh, don't forget New York.
Wonderful.
New York has had the Giants and Jets recently, and the Knicks, the mighty Knicks. Oh.
Giants, Jets, Knicks, Nets.
Oh.
Ugh.
Yeah, but no, the Nets at least
Mets.
At times. The Nets, Yankees,
star power.
Have given you some reason to be hopeful, have made the playoffs and stuff. Man, these other teams, it's just, you know, the largest market in the country, like twice as big as the second biggest market, has fans uninterested in the NBA. Good move. Good move, Knicks. I don't know how we got on the
You're
Knicks.
Relentless.
The return of the GOAT. and another quarterback who might be on the move this week. He can sling it too. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.